It's Thursday morning, and a very good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful country of ours that we call the land of the brave. So thanks for joining us, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company this morning. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. So it is always a pleasure, a very good pleasure. You know, it's always a pleasure for us here to be in your company. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day at this time. So this is a program that comes to you every morning from 7:30 until the hour of 9:30. So Unpacking the Day is a show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. But it is not just about us talking, it is about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is about 34 minutes past the hour of 7. And if you just tuning in, you are just on board. You just jumped on board, and you're welcome for joining us this morning. So today is the 3rd of July. The year is 2025. So let's get into our segment of On This Day in Africa. So what are the significant events that happen in the history of Africa on this day, the 3rd of July? So on the 3rd of July 1992, South Africa was readmitted to the International Federation of Association Football, FIFA, after being expelled due to apartheid policies. So this move was made possible by the government's release of political prisoners and the initiation of negotiation to end apartheid. And on the third of July in 1974, a delegation from African National Council, ANC, this is not the ANC of a political party, so the delegation from African National Council in Rhodesia, now is Zimbabwe, informed the British government that they were unwilling to continue negotiation with the Rhodesia regime, marking a stand in the escalation conflict for majority rule. And on this day, on the very same day in 1976, Israel commandos launched a daring rescue operation at Entebbe Airport in Uganda. So they successfully freed 103 hostages from a hijacked Air France flight, killing hijackers and Ugandan soldiers in the process. And on July the 3rd, 2013, a military coup in Egypt led by Defense Minister Abdel Fattah al-Sisi ousted President Mohamed Morsi, marking a significant political event in North Africa. And today, Heroes Day in Zambia is celebrated on July the 3rd, honoring the country's freedom fighters and national heroes. So that is in Zambia, our neighboring sister country, Zambia. So they're honoring their heroes on this day or today. Well, good morning. and welcome. And let's look at our Thursday, July the 3rd, the thought for the day. What is our thought for the day? It's quite short. Time lost is lost forever. That's our thought for the day. Time lost is lost forever. So the proverb actually carries a clear and powerful message. Wasting time means missing out on opportunities that can never be revisited. So whether it is delaying a project, neglecting learning, or avoiding meaningful connections, those lost moments are opportunity lost forever. So the proverb is a reminder to act now. Act now. It warns us against procrastination and encourages us to prioritize purpose and present rather than waiting for a better, we normally say for a better time that might never come at all. So treat time as your most precious asset. Once it slips away, you can never get it back. So use it wisely, purposefully, and without delay. Use it right now. So, yeah, that's our thought of the day. And one thing I do about this, you know, if you want to do anything that you want to do, just do it now, okay? Because you never find the time when you think it's the right time to do it. Just do it now. So that's our thought of the day, that time lost is lost forever. So you better get moving. It's time already. It's already time to get wake up also. time to get up. And you're on your way to work. Thanks for joining us. And you are in the company of Eagle FM on Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshaveli. And we will come back. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
Eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
A very good morning to you. A very good morning, my dear listeners, wherever you find yourself, either in the capital, at the coast, in Rundu, Katima, Carisburg. You can also hear us for, wherever you stay, wherever you are, find yourself. Stay connected. And stay connected with Eagle FM, and wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM. Either you can listen to us, you know, for those who are not, if you're staying in Windhoek, those who are not listening to us through the radios, and those who are hearing from Australia, tell others that they can actually listen to us through our website and also through the Eagle FM mobile app. So what you can do, tell them to download Eagle FM app, mobile app through the Google Play or the Play Stores, and then you will have access to the radio right away, and many other features that are available on the on Eagle FM mobile app. So and as usual, and you know, we please do follow us on our social media, on our number of social medias on Eagle FM, on X, on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram, WhatsApp channel as well. So, and please do follow Eagle FM and also the villagers. And when you are at it, when you are there, make sure that you leave a comment or a like, especially a comment or a like, or that love signs, and follow and subscribe as well. So follow and do subscribe. And especially we also want to hear what you gotta say. So we need those feedback as well from you. So, and, every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, we publish the Villager. So if you are looking for the latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy of the Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email, that you send it to 08200414444, 08200414444, and make sure that you save that number as a contact number. And that comes, the Villager always come published on every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So, and make sure that you are subscribed to get this for free. You get it for free. That's all what you need to do. And if you want to advertise your business, or you have an event, or a workshop or conferences, that you want to advertise, or you want to have your event, being exposed via live, streaming or broadcasting, contact our office at 083-288-400. So do that, and you will, you know, to the lady that you'll be talking to, you will be just smiling. All right. So after that, all right. Our time is about 46 minutes past the hour of 7. My unpacking the day goes up to 9:30. So I'll be in your company until 30 minutes past the 9 hour this morning. So yeah, today I want us to, there's this interesting story. So if you're joining us, please welcome to Unpacking the Day. So where we dive deep into stories, shaping our world. And this morning we are looking at a story that is, I would say as shiny and as it is troubling, you know, as, you know, it has that, you know, potential of, if you think of that, and also has that troubling aspect. You know, we're talking about gold, but no, not just gold. We're talking about blood gold. So it's about a resource foiling violence and suffering in West African's Sahel region. Now, the story comes from a BBC article by Jacob Bossois, titled "How Blood Gold is Foiling Conflict in West Africa." So it was published last week, and when you look at that story, it really serves as a warning call. It serves as a warning call for all of us in Africa, and that include Namibia's as well. And it's about how our natural wealth, you know, can be a blessing. So when you're looking at that, and when you're looking at it in Africa as well, whether it's in DRC, Congo, whether it's also in other part of Africa, West African Sahel regions, the other part country like Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. So our natural wealth can be a blessing or a curse. And I really want to get us into some of the complex issues, which actually sparking some debate, and also get some people actually talking or thinking about our continent and the future. So in the way how things are going on. Yeah, so we're going to look at that this morning, and I would invite you to come through as well and have your contribution or share of this item. So what is that? What are we talking about? We're talking about blood gold. You normally hear blood diamond, you know, not black diamond, but blood diamond. We normally have that. And so this time is what? It's a blood gold. New concept, because a similar concept like a blood diamond. So, and I want you to think about yourself. You know, you are buying a gold ring for a special occasion, or maybe you are investing. Maybe you're not buying. Maybe you're investing in a gold. You're investing gold because it's a safer bet when it comes to tough times or tough economic times. But what if that gold came from a place where it's funding war? It's funding oppression, it's funding, or even torture. So that is blood gold. That is what is referred to as blood gold. Gold mined in conflict zones where the profit go to arm groups or military regimes instead of actually helping the communities. So the profit of the mine of the gold that is being mined in these conflict zones is not benefiting the communities. It's actually profiting. It actually goes to the armed groups or even to military regimes that are so common, especially in West Africa. So in West Africa, Sahel region, we have, think about Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, especially this three country. This is happening in terms of what we're talking about, gold blood. This is happening right now, and that's actually a big deal for us as an African. So, yeah, that's what the story tells. That's what the story says. So let's get into this. So the Sahel is, this region is a really tough place to be. it's one of the poorest region in the world, hit hard by climate change as well, drought and the other thing, the very other things that is very, very common, very, how would I say it? You know, other things as well. It's the insurgency that comes in those countries, a jihadist insurgency, linked to, and normally these are linked to groups like Al Qaeda and Islamic State, and sometimes other Islamic State, ISIS, and so on. So now, mostly when it comes now to gold, in those regions, gold become a lifeline. Not only for, you know, it becomes a lifeline for these countries produced. And these countries, let's talk about, because the article actually focused on these three countries, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. So these three countries produce about 230 tons a year, 230 tons a year, worth of about 15 billion US dollar at today's prices, according to the World Gold Council. Now, that's more gold, really. That's more gold than any other part of Africa. So, but instead of building now this gold, as we said, when you think about this $15 billion, what am I saying? So instead, actually, that money goes to support military regimes and also this militia or insurgency. So it doesn't go to, you know, it doesn't go to building schools or hospitals. Much of this money is going to weapons. You know, it goes to military campaigns and even foreign mercenaries. It also goes to foreign, because in that region we also have the foreign mercenaries like the Russian Wagner Group. And also, to its successors, they have that successor, Africa Corps. So, as we see, the money really, it doesn't, in this region, it doesn't go to the communities and to help the community in terms of building schools, hospitals, and public services. So, actually, it goes to most of this government come in place through coup. They are not democratically elected. They come through the coup. And now, to keep in power, to stay in power, then diamond is being used, you know, for military campaign and also to secure their being in power, and also to support missionaries, as we said, as we have seen this. There are in some of these countries, Russian Wagner group, and also which is actually now to recruiting also the Africa people from those countries as referred to as Africa Corps. So now, yeah, so let me give you a picture of what is happening. Yeah. In Burkina Faso, Mali and Niger, military juntas, referred to as military juntas, government run by the army. And they are leaning on gold to keep power. So they are leaning on gold to keep power. They are building refineries, like one in Mali with Russian involvement, and setting up state-owned mining companies to take control of the industry. So, of course, in those countries, they say it's about sovereignty, which is, in a case, is true, you know, and also helping their people. That's the claim, yeah. And we see that in the difference in Burkina Faso. But the reality is, it's messier in some other countries, in Niger, probably, and also in Mali. So it's much messier, compared to, maybe to Burkina Faso. So a lot of the gold money is funding the counter insurgency. You know, it's really countering much of this, insurgency effort, which is against the jihadist group that are operating in those countries, and some of it is even you know going to Russian missionaries that I talked about, who have been accused of in those countries of atrocities. You know, like unlawful killing of people and torturing, according to Human Rights Watch. That's according to Human Rights Watch. So, yes, much of this, you know, money coming from gold, is funding really the fighting of jihadist, group in those area, and also now paying the mercenaries who in those regions. So yeah, and the other thing is also that, but it's not just the government. You have also now the jihadist group like you have the one in is it Mali, Jamaat Nasrat al Islam al Islam wa Muslim S J N A J N I M, you know, J N Jamaat Nasrat al Islam wal Muslim Muslimun, okay? So J-A-J-N-I-M. So this, they are also chasing, they are also cashing in. They are also cashing on gold as well. So they control many small-scale informal gold mines. You know, think of small operation in remote areas, often unregulated and also dangerous. So these groups, use the profit to buy weapons and also expand their influences. So just this year, this JNIM launched unprecedented attack on Burkina Faso military, and showing how strong they are getting, as reported by the ground, not dot news, by the ground news, that publication, ground dot news. Yeah. So it's a gold. That's why I said it's a blood, it's a, not a blood diamond. It's a blood gold. It's the military, you know, uses gold for, you know, for them to stay in power, to keep power. And also, as in some country, like in Burkina Faso, they're building refineries, like one also, like it also happened in Mali. They also built one in Mali. So that have involved Russians as well in building that. So, yeah. And also, it's also that these group are also, you know, everybody's trying to make sure that they have a piece of that, wherever they are. And what are they used for? Most of this is actually, the profit is to buy weapons. So the military is to buy weapon. You know, this jihadist group is also to buy weapons and definitely expand so that they can also expand their influences. So what happened? It becomes a vicious circle, right? It becomes a vicious circle. Governments and jihadists are fighting over the same gold. And the conflict keeps growing, as we see in those areas. So, yeah. And another worst part is that people are caught in the middle. That's the worst part. The people are caught in the middle. And miners in these regions work in a brutal conditions. And often as little as $18 to $36 dollar, so per day. That's what I got, like per day. 36. What is, how much is per 36 U.S. dollar? 36 U.S. dollar. Let's say 637.2. So, that's not too bad. A day. 632. Well, a month, if you haven't missed a day, a month, that would be, well less than 20,000. Yeah, Namibian dollars. So, well, not bad, I think. So, but well, it doesn't, as we're saying, this money that comes from this blood, gold, is not used to build schools or to build, you know, hospitals and roads and whatever. So it's actually much used to buy weapons. And the problem is that, you know, as we say, they're getting as little as $18. You could be getting as $18 or $36. That's 36, kind of the highest, the maximum, you know, kind. So, but the problem is that gold prices are actually going up. So the gold prices is going up globally, and even one miner in Mali, Kidal region, told the BBC that prices went up, but the extra profit goes to the mine owners. So, and it, for them, he said it's risky and uncertain, but for many of us, it is the only option. So, and imagine working in the dangerous mine, risking your life and barely making enough, to feed your family, while the gold you dig, up funds, violence. So, and that, and then violence is not far away from you. The gold that you dig up is actually funding violence, and the violence that actually that happened in your country. So that is the reality, for many in this Sahel region. So, and it is not just the miners as well. So civilians are suffering too. Human Rights Watch has documented atrocities by both governments and jihadists. So including summary executions, and also people are being or forced displacement. So people are being displaced in some places because of what is of the war that is taking the conflict that's taking place, and people become displaced. So in Mali, because of that harsh government tactic since 2021, a coup have pushed some community to join, even in some. Now, because of those harsh tactics the government is, have employed, it even pushed some community to join the very insurgents that they are fighting. Excuse me. So, it's a heartbreaking situation where the ordinary people are paying the price for the gold. They are paying the price for the gold rush. So yeah, you're probably thinking or you're probably saying, well, this conflict is 1,000 kilometers away from us. So what does it have to do with that? Why should we bother? So when you look at that, we are part of Africa, and what happened in one region can ripple across the country, I mean across the continent. So instability in Sahel region could spill over, affecting trade, just like any other global geopolitical tension anywhere in the world. So could affect trade, security, and even initiatives like we're talking about initiatives now, like the African Continental Free Trade Area. So conflict like that would actually push this initiative behind. In places where there are conflict, you cannot be able to implement this. And this is one of the reasons actually that pushes this initiative behind. So it is very important and significant for us as well. Okay, so because the CFTA, which we are just starting to tap into with our recent salt export to Nigeria, so we just now starting, you know, we have our inaugural shipment that just this week Monday. So things like these would actually, that's why they are still very relevant and important to us. So if conflict grows, it could actually disrupt the economic unity we are as a continent trying to build. So it is very relevant, but there is also a deeper connection. So Namibia is rich in resources too. We are rich in resources too. We have diamonds, we have uranium, we have lithium. So we have seen how mining can bring wealth, but also challenges like, as we have seen in our own country, inequality, or it could also bring and environmental damage to your country. So there are so much that we can learn from, or that we can compare. So the Sahel's blood gold, it serves as a warning, as I said at the beginning of the show. It serves as a warning. If we don't manage our resources carefully, we could face similar risk. Corruptions, weak governance, or foreign exploitation. Foreign exploitation could turn our blessing into curses. And at this point in time, we experience some of this aspect, these drawbacks, you know, like foreign exploitation and weak governance. We don't get the best out of our own resources here in the country. That's why our president it's going around shouting, you know, value addition, beneficiations, and all this. Let's get more out of our own resources that coming underneath from our ground. So it's exactly the same. Maybe not blood diamond, you know, but as I said, there's a deeper connection. There's similar, you know, pattern, if you like, just in a different way, different intensity, if you like. We just recently with Minister of Sankwasa, we report there are reports of bribery in our land reform process. You know, show we are not immune. That also shows that we are not immune to these issues. So we need to ask, are our diamonds, for example, are our uranium being used to benefit all Namibians? As we know, not really, not exactly. It's just a few. Or is it being used to benefit all Namibians or just a few? And you know the answer. All right? Now, but you have to think this also in a bigger picture, you know, for Africa. Yeah, the blood gold trade shows how our continent's natural wealth can be a double-edged sword. So Africa has incredible resources, gold, oil, minerals. But too often, they're exploited. They're exploited in a way that fuel conflict. You know, think about, you can think about in Sudan, think about Sudan, their oils, think about DRC and other parts of Africa. So wherever you have these resources, gold, oil, minerals, whatever other minerals, you know, so they are exploited in the way that is actually, you know, fueling conflict. And in the process, it's just enriching foreign companies instead of local communities. So if you think the Sahel region produces 15 billion in gold annually, as I mentioned earlier, yet most of it doesn't stay in the region. It doesn't stay in the region. 15 billion, and it doesn't stay region. It's painful sometimes, you know, when you think of and our leaders, or many people, they say we are the most richest, you know, continent, and we have natural resources, but we don't want to turn things around. Yeah? So much of it ends up in places like especially in that region, it's end up in places like United Arab Emirates, which is actually a global gold hump center, you know, the United Arab Emirates. So and from there, it is sold worldwide, including to markets like in Europe and US. And once gold is melted, So it's not actually like diamond. So it's once it's the gold is melted, it's nearly impossible to trace. So if we're talking about now the blood gold, so once it's melted, it's very difficult to trace. So you might be, as we like in Namibia, we might be wearing actually a ring or as maybe you are an investor. So you might be investing in a gold that is actually tied to violence without even knowing. So, and this really raises a big question. It raises a big question. How can Africa turn its resources into prosperity instead of conflict? How do we turn, you know, our resources into prosperity? So, and the article mentioned the Kimberley process. Kimberley process has to do with the blood diamonds. So, which help curb blood diamonds by certifying their origins. Remember when I said it's difficult? Remember when I said it is difficult, for gold because once it's melted, you know, it's impossible to trace. So this is now the Kimberley process, helped curbing blood diamond by really just by tracing where their origin, by tracing their origin. So, but gold, as I said, is harder to track because it's melted down early and losing its fingerprint. Once it's melted down, it's losing its fingerprint. So effort now, like the London Bullion Market Association standards exist, but, you know, enforcement is really weak, especially in places like the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. So without stronger global regulations when it comes to gold, and especially blood gold, so the blood gold will keep flowing. So it will keep flowing, definitely. So, and this situation will continue, not be able to benefit our own people. So what can be done? What can be done? This is where I want you to think critically. So first, there is the consumer angle. So should we as consumers, and I'm not just thinking about Africa, I'm thinking about the world as well, wherever you're listening from. So should we as everyday people be more careful about where our gold come from? So where you buy a necklace or invest in gold, could you ask for ethical source option, you know? Could you be able to do that? But let's be honest, you know, that's tough to do. That's tough when most of us don't have the tools to verify gold origins. We don't. So is it fair to, you know, to put that burden on the consumer? It is not fair. So, or should the government and company take the lead? So, yeah, as I said, those are some questions. The other second things that we need to think, what about the international responsibility? There are foreign firms in those countries, like in, where is this Canada Barrick Gold? Where is it? It's operating in Mali, the Barrick Gold. So it has office, which had its office, Mali's office closed by the junta in 2025. Now, so I explained to you what's a junta, you know, it's a military government. So, and are caught in this mess too. This is a company that are also caught in this mess. So should now they be doing more to ensure that their operation don't fuel conflict? Because sometimes these foreign companies are the one that in instigating this conflict, so that, you know, where there is no rules, where there is no governance, you know, where there is chaos, you can really plant you know, you can really plow or to blunt. What is the word? I'm looking at the word where you're really taking so much while everybody's killing themselves. You know, you're taking so much as you can, as quick as possible. And later on said, okay, here's your, you know, you can do that now yourself, but you have, you really have planned everything out already. So should company like this ensure their operation don't fuel conflict? And what about countries like Russia? Also, that's a question we need to ask. So whose mercenaries are profiting from Sahel gold as well? Should the global community hold them accountable? And the other thing, let's also talk about Africa's role, the African Union. So, and initiative like the CFTA, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, which is actually aimed to boost economic unity. But can they address this issue like blood gold? Could we create an African-led system to certify ethical gold? So ensuring, because then you can be able to assure that your ensure profit stays in our communities. So, yeah. Well, for Namibia, maybe for us, how can we make this come back to our own resources? How can we make sure our own resources, diamond, you know, diamonds, uranium, and lithium, all this, how can we make sure that our own resources are managed transparently also? So they lift up places like Kunene, like Zambezi, like Hangwena, like Oshikoto, whatever. So not just win to kill it, because much of the time it's just, you know, the win to kill it that are actually benefiting, not you that stays in Katatura. I'm talking about the win to kill it. Don't get thinking, don't think, no, but we're not getting any. No, not you. Talking about the elite. You're not an elite. Okay? Yeah. So the Africa's wealth, it should be our strength, really. Not our downfall. Because when we're looking at it, it's like, you know, our wealth, it's like it's our downfall. You know, but it should be our strength. So the Sahel gold could build schools, could build roads, could build hospitals, but instead it's actually buying bullets and miseries. It's actually buying bullet and conflict. So in Namibia we have got a chance to do better. And our mining sector, which account for over 50% of our foreign exchange earning, is a lifeline. But we need strong governance. We need strong governance. We need anti-corruption measures, which in some cases are very, very, very weak. And community-focused policies to make sure that it benefits everyone. This is the song that we sing every day. And especially here, the whole idea that what we do is to make sure, to create that awareness, to say, yes, maybe the government is doing good here and or not good here. What about this? Is it benefiting? And the reason why, do you know why that's the case? And should be everybody's responsibilities, because our country is the second. We talked about even this yesterday. It's unequal when it comes to wealth distribution. It's completely unequal, and we are second. We take up that spot in the world, second in the world. So, and that's why most of the time here, our focus is that do our policies or whatever we, you know, do, does it, are they making sure that it benefits everyone? So when we hear this is not just about, you know, we have that gap. there are people that are wealthy, rich, and there are massive people in Namibia that have, you know, are extremely poor. That gap. In this story, the Sahel story that we're looking at, it's a mirror. I think for me, I'm seeing as a mirror. It's a mirror. Let's look at it and ask ourselves, are we doing enough to protect our own resources? And that we cannot just leave it to the government alone. Eh? You should be responsible. Protecting our resources, it means that when you are given a responsibility wherever you are, you think of, you know, your country, you think of the nation, you think of those who deserve to get that, to benefit from that. So because often we just talk about government, it's government, you know, as who is that, you know. So you, wherever you are responsible. Okay? So Namibia, let's get this conversation going. Is blood gold just a hand problem, or does it hit closer to home as well? So should we demand more transparency in our own mining sector? Yes, we should. Okay. Can consumer make a difference? Yes, we can. Okay. Is this a job for the government and global bodies only? Nope. You know? So, and how do we turn Africa resources that we have into a force for good, not conflict? How do we turn that? So, and I want to hear from you. So I want to hear your thoughts. This is not just about gold. It's about the Africa. You remember the 2020, the Agenda 2020, the Agenda 2063. So, as I said, this is not about gold. So it's about the Africa we want. That's what, the Agenda 2063 is saying. The Africa we want. What is that Africa we want? It starts with you. What is that that says that? It starts with you. So the Africa we want starts with you. Start with me. And we're trying to do our bit, you know, by raising some of these issues, you know, opening up your mind on some of these issues. But you can come through our telephone number. I will open up my line now. So our telephone number is always 3366091. From the Ondangwa studio, 08-08-333-66-091. Please do come through and engage me. Engage our listeners as well. 08-08-333-66-091. All right. Do come through and we continue.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. You're a little bit far. I can't hear you properly. Can you speak up a little
morning,
bit? Sir. Good
That's
morning.
Fine,
good
morning.
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, good. Let me raise my own opinion.
Yeah. It's always opinion. Yeah. It's most welcome.
sometimes we digest also much on the other people's opinion. They create the foundation for us to go in.
Yeah.
And just our own opinion. So how to close the gap between rich and poor, and also to ensure that those minerals and resources benefit more for our people.
Mm.
And this morning the question was posed that who should then determine our needs?
Yeah.
social need or political need and all this other needs.
Mm.
How do we then address that? This is questions and all these things. And I think it's just in line with what you are talking about now.
Yeah.
Perhaps we need to also think as to how do we then, who should then determine our needs, actually.
Yeah.
The gaps are there. We are second in the world. We know the root cause of all these things.
Mm.
And once we know the root cause, then we are at least that able to
come. Uncle Bwana, what are the root causes? What are the root causes of these things? So we have coming not only Namibia, but we can think of Africa as well. So what are the root causes really of this?
Yeah, let me start with us here, Namibia and South Africa. I think statistic indicates that South Africa is number one and we are second.
Yeah.
In terms of inequality.
Mm.
So, and that goes with on the area of policies, acts, and things like that. The root cause of that thing, we are not going to talk much on the segregation policies and laws that were there. That one is obvious. And you know very well that the desegregation,
yeah,
that was also mentioned yesterday by Mr. David when he was talking about boundary education and all the systems. So when you look at the legal system in the past, it was all benefiting the some category of people.
Mm.
So that could also be the resources were never distributed. So all they created is the aid, helping there and giving them this and this and that. It was a strategy crafted deliberately to deny you even education.
Yeah.
So now, in terms of...
But, okay, the other thing, I understand that, and I definitely agree with you.
My point. And then you come and quickly finish my point, that yes, access to productive resources were not given to maybe those who are now left out, to the majority of the poor, in Namibia, even in South Africa. And those are some of the root causes. So our education system and all these things in the process of reform and getting there. And then also information is part of education. If people do not have information, and then they cannot perhaps see or realize some of the opportunities that are there, despite the fact that there are challenges. Maybe you can go in now.
Yeah, no. My question was based on, I think it's something you meant.
You say shelves
just hold on quickly.
With a variety of fresh produce,
then
dairy products,
playing now.
Pantry staples, and more.
Just hold on.
All at prices that won't break the bank. 4 kilos, real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just $189.99 Namibian dollars. 700 milliliter Wellington's tomato sauce, $26.99 Namibian dollars. 900 grams Harvest Time frozen mixed veggies, $34.99 Namibian dollars. And 500 grams Rama 70% fat spread, only $27.99 Namibian dollars. You save, we all save at You Save.
Hello? Mike.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So I was waiting for...
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to
just
win a voucher
on,
of 500 Namibian dollars weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2 o'clock to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2 o'clock. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We will save at You Save.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMPA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMPA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right. Welcome back. Our time is about 33 minutes past the hour of 8, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. Yeah, my thought process now has been, because of this, I needed to have this, some of this actually come through. Yeah, and my thought process of what I wanted to ask, I'm not really, I can't remember what I wanted to ask you now. Okay, just finalize up your point, Uncle Pone.
Yeah, so yes, we ended up on the distribution of resources, and I mentioned about accessing the access to productive resources for our people, whom now the majority of them are poor, and we are saying that fine, if we cannot perhaps, you know, the issue of somebody asked a question: are we poor? What is it poor? Poverty and poor and things like that. And then when we have got assets. Say people are talking about land, not maybe communal land.
Yeah, maybe this communal land. And the communal land can also be turned into somehow kind of commercial, where you have this cooperative societies, where people can come together and produce food and sell and reduce poverty index. And all these things. So those are some of the roots. There are many actually factors that contribute to poverty and all this unequal distribution. But the policies, resources now, I mean the policies and acts, they need to be reformed. They need to be looked at so that they can then respond properly to the needs of the people. But take the opportunity there, where the peoples are, mobilize them so that if you mobilize the resources, the people and the, you know, little one that you have, you can make a positive change as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. No, thank you, Uncle Bona.
Yeah. Welcome. So for the West Africa, that's one like we can talk about it at maybe at a later stage, because it's true.
Yeah.
That and whatever they have been doing. And that's, some of these things are operating illegally.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, very good morning to you. And so we're looking at the blunt gold. As I said, we normally hear the blunt diamond. It looks like, you know, in Sahel regions has become a blunt gold crisis. And issue of conflict, gold profit fund the military juntas or the jihadists. So the conflict funding is actually coming from gold, which is actually now much of the time, as I said, especially in that regions, you have the military juntas, government that are actually come to power through coup. And then you have the insurgents in those areas, in those region. So this is what is actually funding the conflict. So it's intensifying violence, destabilizes the region and fuel human, right abuses. And then you have the poor, what we talked about, you have the poor mine condition, where the artisanal, miners earn less than 18 to 36 per day, despite higher, you know, the higher gold prices, you know. So, which then actually, that's an exploitation of workers, perpetuating actually poverty and not trickle down benefits at all. So those are some of the things that we look at. Weak regulations, the gold traceability is very low. You cannot actually trace it. Global standard like the LBMA, it's poorly enforced. And that's allowed now the blood gold to enter global markets, complicating the ethical sourcing. And then foreign involvement. We talked also the foreign involvement, the Russian mercenaries and firm that are profiting from gold concessions. And that undermines the local sovereignty. The impact of that is really undermining the local sovereignty, diverting wealth from the community. So, and then the whole question of regional stability, instability, the conflict spill over, threatened trade, and the unity, like the CFTA, and that hinders now. The impact of that is really hinders Africa's economic integration and development. So those are some of the issues I think we can relate to from this conflict, from this blood gold crisis. So our telephone number, if you want to also come through and share your opinion and have your contribution, is 08333 66091, 08333 66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kabuna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengira selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Yes, welcome to Eagle FM, and we are live on Unpacking the Day. So our time is about 40 minutes, 20 minutes to 9. And if you're joining us, good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this land of the brave. So we were talking about, we're looking at some key issues from the article, from the BBC article written by, what is the name, Bonsoir, from the BBC, and talking about the blood crisis, the blood gold crisis, which really fueling a conflict, intensifying violence and destabilizing the regions, and also fueling human rights abuses in those regions. So, and this is now gold is being used to fund both to fund the insurgency, the hardest groups in those regions, and also the military juntas in country, like, you know, we're talking about Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger. So yeah, to fund the conflict. So yeah, and as I said, we indicated where that this is not to benefit, this is not benefiting the communities. It's actually, you know, exploiting workers, perpetuating, you know, more poverty, and we don't see any trickle down of benefit from what is going on. So yeah, those are some of the issues. So you're most welcome to come through and have your say, and what do you think? So as I said, let's continue the conversation. So now, relating to that, today we're looking at Africa, basically looking more on an African level. So now, relating to that, let's get back to home, and you're most welcome to actually comment on that and come through and have your contribution as well. So now, last week, there was also a very interesting story that maybe we can look at. A story about Namibia seeking U.S., Russia, and Chinese partners to boost our uranium industry. So I think it was, it was last week. And before we jump into that, last week, not just yesterday, the ECOFIN, not a coffin, this is an agency, publication agency, coffin agency, dropped a story called Namibia Seek U.S., Russian and Chinese Partners to Boost the Uranium Industry. Yeah, so Namibia is as we know, is sitting on one of the world's richest uranium deposits, and we hold around 10% of the global uranium supply. So that's really huge for a small country like ours. So, well, the story was about the new memorandum of understanding, the MOU, between Namibia's Industrial Development Agency, known as NIDA, and this U.S. Company, Nano Nuclear Energy. So there was that a memorandum of understanding. So the goal for the memorandum is to boost our uranium processing here at home. So it's like, you know, a company now heading to what our president is probably going out shouting, and not in a bad way, shouting that we need to process, you know, our resources here at home. So now the goal of this memorandum is really to boost our uranium processing here at home. Namibia has got talks going on with also Russia and also with China as well. So it's not just one partner. So in this game, which is actually, you know, a very, very, very good thing. So that we don't just put our eggs into one basket. So from our side, the dream is really turning our raw uranium. This was also what David was talking earlier on in early morning scoop. So from our side, the dream is turning our raw uranium, what they call yellow cake. So they call it, I don't know why it's called a yellow cake, into higher value products, to higher product by processing it actually locally. So that's our dream, really. And maybe even building our first nuclear power plant, which the president have actually asked. That we do that, because as a third country, as a third country supplier in the world, so we should have one. Why not? So, which is actually sound exciting if you think about it. But like everything, there is more going on. Under the surface, there's so much going on. All right. But there are three key issues from this story that I want us to look at. Those three issues I want to look at. One is the economic diversification and job creation. That's coming out of that article. Now, Namibia has been a uranium heavyweight for years. Yeah, we have been, you know, we have been there. We have done that. We have been and we have done that. Now, think of mines. Think of mines like Rossing, Husab, and Lange Heinrich. So we have been there, and these mines have been there for a number of years. We are second only to Kazakhstan worldwide, you know, only to Kazakhstan worldwide. But our biggest issue is that, and as we always say that, our biggest issue is that, and this is also the push of our president, at least we have. It's not that other presidents haven't been pushing this. It's good to see that someone have really made this as a priority. So as I said, our biggest issue is that we are mostly shipping shipping out raw uranium. We are shipping it out raw. So if you make an example of cotton, it's like, selling cotton before it's get turned into clothes. So we're sending it out raw. So sure, someone is making money, but mostly them, not us. So because in the raw form, it doesn't have much value. All right. By processing uranium, like turning, as I give an example of cotton, turning cotton into shit. So, we get away with more value, okay? So, and that translates to good, when you're thinking in processing it, it translates also to good, paying jobs, because you have then engineers, you have scientists, you have technicians, all the kind of careers of our young people deserves. So I can say support here, even I can even support Ingel, even Uncle Bwana here, in terms of that, you know, those opportunities are there. So those opportunities are there. And we just then to identify those opportunities, like, you know, let's send people for engineering. Let's send people, specifically, it has been for too long. As I said, we have been mining uranium for years. So do we have engineer in those fields specifically who are qualified in those? Do we have scientists in our country that are qualified in those areas? Do we have technicians? Eh? How long do we have to wait? So we keep actually being dependent on the foreign. Well, the other thing is that those mines, well, they don't belong to us anyway. So the reason why maybe we haven't, you know, get engineers and scientists in terms of specifically in those areas is because the owners of the mine, you know, come with their own people. They have their own engineers, they have their own scientists, they have their own technicians. But this memorandum of understanding, it seeks to do that. And we just have to see how long that's actually going to take until we, you know, we see some fruits, this bearing some fruits. Yeah. And the government thinks this could pump up our economy by 1.8 billion a year. So the government thinks that it can really pump up our economy a bit by 1.8 billion a year and create 2,500 new jobs by 2030. So this memorandum understanding, that's what, you know, what we're hoping, what we're dreaming would happen. So, yeah, let's have our eyes on that. Let's have our eyes on those promises and see, you know, are they coming? Is there any pace we see that slowly by slowly it's getting there, you know? As far as we see also, is that many people are losing their job. It's funny when we talk about, creating new jobs, and you hear certain companies are actually retrenching people, and yeah, so it's painful. I'm actually saying that with a smile on the face, but it's painful, and it's a reality in Namibia. So, and exactly that these deals, when we talk about now, these deals are not free. When we talk about the memorandum of understanding, so the deals that we are talking about are not free. They are not free. So the U.S., the Russia, the China, they have their own aims. It's not charity. They don't come for charity. So they have their own aims. They want steady uranium supplies for their nuclear reactors, which are growing because the world wants cleaner energy. So that, for them, it's actually to supply. They're looking for those supplies for their own nuclear reactors. So, and because of also what the challenges that are going on. Now, let's look for China. China is building a reactor. It's building reactors like crazy. Eh? China's building reactors like crazy. Russia control nearly half of the world's uranium enrichment. And well, the U.S. wants to reduce its uranium, coming from Russia. So, and that's why they think of Namibia. Yeah, that's why they think of Namibia.
Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good.
Mm.
Yeah, it's Killian from Katima.
Yes, Killian. So, how is Katima? Is it cold or hot at that side? Is it feeling cold?
Nah, it's a bit warm.
It's a bit warm.
Yeah.
Mm. That's a nice weather in Katima, yeah, this time.
Blood gold.
Yeah. Mm.
In the Sahel regions.
Yeah.
You know these resources, these natural resources, Mike.
Yeah.
They are not just bringing chaos in the Sahel region, but everywhere elsewhere in, because ours here, it's not blood, but it's poverty.
In different ways. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
It's in different ways like that. So if I had a suggestion, I don't know, because, you know, I'm not a geologist. I don't know anything about economy and so I just understand a bit about it.
Not many of us anyway. Yeah.
So I was suggesting from the profits we make from our natural resources, Mike.
Yeah.
Starting from fish, gold, salt, whatever we can mention. Is our government not able to get a certain percent of those profits?
Mm.
And pump it up into housing. How do you think about that?
It depends how much they get.
Because if we can get, because you talked about Mali, is it Mali or Burkina Faso that you said?
The three countries, Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger. Yeah.
Which is getting 15 billion annually from their gold and stuff.
Yeah, but then it doesn't benefit actually the communities at all.
Because if you come back home in Namibia, we lack in housing, in so many sectors we are lacking.
Mm.
But I was suggesting if our government could get a certain percentage from elsewhere from our resources, then and put it together that as profit, then you divert that into housing.
You reinvested in other services. So, but the problem is, think of oil and gas already, how we're negotiating that. We get about 10% or something like that, or 15 or 5% or whatever the case, I don't know. That's what we get. So in terms of other, in mining as well, as we said, this mining, we don't own those mining. Yeah, so they are owned by foreigners.
Owned by foreigners.
And we getting a little from those.
Very.
We are getting little from those. We're getting quite, that it doesn't make much of a difference at all.
Mm.
And that's why, you know, the president is going around, you know, talking about, you know, that we need to add value to, our resources. We have to renegotiate.
We have to renegotiate.
And the problem is this, some of these are finite. Some of these resources are finite. You know, some in 20 years or something like that, you know, the uranium will be exhausted. Or a certain diamond will be exhausted, or said, you know, and there will be nothing.
There will be nothing at all.
And then it hasn't contributed to development of our country at all.
Of our country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we put the future generation, we put it in jeopardy. Absolutely in jeopardy.
Absolutely jeopardy, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the old suggestion I had, but the other thing also on unemployment.
Mm.
You know, Mike, we are sitting here. We don't know from who we are crying to that we need employment.
Yeah.
But I think it's everyone else who is in this land who has to create an employment for somebody. Because, Mike, we have so many different ministries, but what are these ministries doing?
Mm.
Is it really sure that there are no jobs at let me just say somewhere at labor or somewhere in by the Minister of Health, because we had this ministry which was employment creations and stuff. It's gone now. So, like I was suggesting, everyone else in these ministries, every ministry should be able to create an employment.
Yeah.
Like, let's not just wait from the Prime Minister, we wait from the President what she's going to say about our resources and stuff.
Yeah.
At least even me, who's a taxi driver, if I'm investing very well, I'll have to employ one or two.
Yeah.
So it's for all of us. Let's build Namibia, all of us.
Yeah.
Whoever is able to
create an coming up employment. Would you hold on?
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 6x1 liter Bonita Long Life Full Cream Milk for only 119 Namibian dollars 99 per pack. And 4 kg Real Good Chicken mixed portions for just 189 Namibian dollars 99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 6 July 2025. Only at ShopRite.
The point you're making is it's very important, but the other thing is this, you know, are there opportunities? You know, the reasons why we even have, you know, a lot of graduates, you know, on the street, it's lack of opportunities. You know, you might be a skillful person in something else, but you end up actually, you know, driving a taxi. It's because what you're qualified, there are no opportunity for you to do what you maybe you are qualified. So what we need to do is to create opportunities for people, and also avail funds to people to be able to do now. Because even if there are opportunities and we have no startup capital to be able to do, there's nothing you can do. Maybe there's something you want to start a side business somewhere that you know that's going to be successful if you start it. But you don't
have a starting point.
You don't have a starting point. Eh?
Mm.
And this is where our now financial institution, they don't cater to the majority of this country. And the problem is this. There are massive of people that are left behind. We have this huge group, a big group of people that are left behind. And then all our institution, the financial institution, all this, they are only serving this small part of our populations. You know? Who have collaterals, who have, you know, who have properties and things like that. They're only serving this. The majority of us, you know, have no access to funds because we don't fit in the criteria of this institution.
Let's just work on that.
Yeah.
So let's create an environment that is going to pick up certain sectors and who is able to do what?
Yeah.
And yeah.
You know, the president said if there is law that actually, you know, in the way of benefiting people, let's get rid of it. So, yeah, let's get rid of it, which is actually true. So if there is something that is actually in the way of really picking up, lifting up people, get rid of it. It doesn't serve us. Yeah. All right. No, thank you for coming through.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
So much.
Yeah, those are really issues. They are, and this is my, sometimes even when I listen to, I'm kind of becoming not pessimistic per se, but I'm kind of person that looking at, if we cannot be able to change the law, really, we can change the policy to favor, you know, the poor, you know, then definitely no matter how much you shout on the hilltop, you're not going to change anything. Yeah, there are structures, there are laws, there are, you know, we live in a society that is governed by laws, by policies. And you can say whatever you want, whoever you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a president or whatever. You can say whatever you want. But if you don't create, if you don't put up laws that really then destroy or whatever, limit whatever pushing people into poverty, if you don't, we will remain where we are. So we will definitely remain where we are. So, and that's very important. And hopefully we have a very dynamic, parliament these times. We want to see people who seeing, things from different perspective and really want to make a difference, in passing laws that make a difference. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good. Blood diamonds.
Blood diamonds, and so it's a mirror for us, actually. Same thing. It's like the previous caller said. Yes, we may not actually have not blood diamond. It's blood gold this time. Yeah.
Yeah. Blood gold, whatever.
Yeah.
You see, there are some certain things which are flaring up these things to be happening.
Yeah.
First of all, it's the community where this gold is coming from.
Mm.
For example, you are from Okalongo on that side.
Yeah.
And in Okalongo, there's gravel road. Yeah. Not gravel, but then there's gravel, which is being mined there. But now you go to Okalongo, you will find that most of the roads which are there, they're not even having, they're not even graveled in such a way that they are at the standard
proper road. Yeah.
Proper road.
Mm.
And that gravel has been transported to maybe to Enana, making a better road than where the gravel road is coming from.
Yeah.
And these are some of the complaints which community members are having, or maybe citizens of each country they are having.
Yeah.
And once it starts growing, that even the chief or maybe the tribe of that area.
Yeah.
They are also starting to believe that, no, we are not being treated equally here.
Yeah.
Why is it that our diamond here, the mine is here with us here, where the gold has been diamond mined?
Yeah.
Or maybe where the diamond has been mined. But now you look at the area, what impact that it have to the community who owns that gold there?
Yeah. I think the biggest challenge is the ignorance is not on the people. The many people who are even mining, the miners, are ignorant of the value they have. You understand? Let's say, for example, even if you know the value, they don't know the value of the gold that they are digging. Yeah. So, the amount of the money that they are given, they are even think, oh wow, I'm getting something to feed my family. But they don't realize that, you know, where this is actually sold, it's massive, massive, massive millions and millions of dollars. They don't know that. So.
Yeah, but then it comes to the, but then it comes to the processes. What are the government processes?
Yeah.
For example, we understand that there should be equal distribution of natural resources throughout the country. But then that equal distribution, can it be achieved?
Yeah.
Because, for example, if we say that we have, must have equal distribution of natural resources throughout all the countries.
Yeah.
That implies that, for example, when the budget's out, for example, we have got maybe 1.4 million.
Mm.
It means that each country or maybe each region, it must have how much? 1 million per region.
Yeah.
And that cannot be achieved, and that cannot be achieved, and that cannot be realized, because by doing that, you are not even fair to yourself. For example, Windhoek is a densely populated region in Namibia.
Mm.
If you give it an equal share compared to Zambezi or maybe compared to Kunene that side, are you being fair to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you have to make the differences quality and equity, you know. Yeah.
Yes.
So in terms of equality and equity. So that means if you have so many people in Windhoek, you don't give the same amount to only having a few number of people in Zambezi, for example, or in Katima, comparing in terms of town. So it's equality compared to equity. So that's you have to be able to do that. Mm. So definitely that won't be fair. Yeah.
That won't be fair.
Yeah.
So the most important thing, which I would, most of the crucial things that are flaring up, this blood, whatever you call it, is the community where these mines are.
Yeah.
Are they receiving something from what is being mined from their area? There's supposed to be some government policies, for example, which said that at least from the profit which the government is making of that country, even 2%. It must go to the benefit of the development of where the mine is.
Mm.
Because immediately when that community where the mine is start realizing that we're not receiving anything from the natural resources which have been mined here, they will stand up in arms.
Yeah, but
they will be easily convinced by international whatever other countries that no, you are not interested there, please that is why we can find you in the better country, in the better government.
Yeah.
But then if there's a portion, if there's a certain small percentage which target where the mine is, then there won't be the type of problems.
Yeah, yeah. But the more you keep people hungry, the more you'll be able to control them. So, because once you fed them and they now satisfy, they start to think of other things. You understand? You know, the more you, and this is how the system works. This is how the system works in any, even in our country in some way or another. So the more you keep people hungry, the more you will be able
to control them.
To control them, you know. So, if you want your key system to keep going on, you understand? So, and I think, and the more in places like that, once they know the value of what they are mining, they become now to devote and they think it's injustices and it become problematic. And therefore, even the government is not doing anything just because they're getting more from the way things are, you know?
Now you mean that now it's better for them to be kept being illiterate?
Exactly.
About,
you know, for those in power, I think it's better that they are illiterate because then it's serving us, you know?
It's serving the interests of the rich.
Exactly. It's serving the interests of the rich. Yeah. So they publicly they can shout, we need to improve to set, you know, we need to set up hospitals, whatever, and nothing. But they know that once you do that, you may not have control. Let's say, for example, as you're a politician, they don't go to Klein Ventuk, they don't go to Ausbliss. What are you going to tell them? When you have a political campaign, so what are you going to tell them? You say, we bring you water. They have water. We bring you electricity. They have electricity. So some of them, they're even...
bring them employment. They have got employment.
They got employment. So some of them are even richer than you are. So what are you telling them? So you go to the people that need that, and you keep telling them, we're going to give you, and you give them a little... So that the next time they see that something is happening a little bit, and they want more. They can see, okay, maybe it's coming, maybe it's coming, maybe it's coming. It's keep coming for years.
Yeah,
you know, and of course you have no choice because you're just thinking, okay, maybe this time it will be better. Maybe this time it will be better. Maybe the, you know, you will relinquish in poverty all the time.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Thanks for coming through and for your contribution, man.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
All right.
All right, bye.
All right. Yeah, no, so definitely, and I'm not saying, get me right, and this is not, just not the politicians, I'm not just talking about it, or the politician or something like that. Politicians sometimes, they are not the movers, you know, maybe in terms of policy and things like that, but they are not the movers, the shakers and the movers of this, of the economy. They are not, eh? They are not an L. They are not an O. And the movers and shakers of economy, you know, they don't want things to change. Yeah? They don't want things to change. If I'm, let's say, for example, if I have my only shop in this village, and all the people in that village come to buy from me, and I'm making very good. If there's a competition coming up, someone said, okay, I'm going to set up another. Someone is want to set up another shop. I may do everything because I know that's going to be a challenge for me. I may do everything, you know, possible to make sure that, you know, you don't do that. Eh? So as I said, there are a lot of things that are going under the surface sometimes, you know, that you don't even know. So we're talking about a memorandum of understanding between NIDA and Russia, America, and China. So that trying to make sure that our uranium is being processed locally. And so the question is, are we making deals that truly benefit Namibia? So please do come through if you want to comment on the item that we have earlier on about the blood gold. So please do come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66091. We are in Ondangwa studio. 08-333-66091. So you're most welcome. So yeah, and the question I was asking, are we truly the deals that we are making, and the MOU that we're making, so truly benefit Namibia, or are we just handing over our resources to superpowers, to these superpowers eager to lock us in, you know, who really just eager to lock us in? And are we really also having are we operating on equal power, on equal level? And in the end, it's also an issue of we have to think seriously how we take the future of our future of our future generations.
because they will look at us and said, we betrayed them. You know, we can really dim their future by what we do today. It's we really need to think. We need to start thinking. I think many of I don't want to say African, but I'm kind of also forced to say that, is that we only think, or maybe because where we are, when you are hungry, you don't think of storing food for tomorrow. You're hungry, you want to eat and finish what you have already and start. And we are in that state. Our nations are in that state of you eat what you have and you have nothing to spare. You know, you eat what you have and you have nothing to spare. And that's the problem. We have resources, but at this point in time, you know, we just eat what we have. And we don't really have much plan of storing for the future. So, yeah. Now, the second thing, as I said, coming from this article about this MOU is the energy independence and infrastructure. So Namibia, as we know, Namibia really imports. Please do come through. Our telephone number 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So Namibia imports up to half electricity from South Africa and other neighboring country. And that's risk business. That's a really, really risk business. If it comes to price hikes, when it comes to blackouts, in that country, when it comes to, so it comes to a limited control over resources, we all need every day. So we really have absolutely no control. We have zero control for something that we need, that you need every day. That's crucial for your functioning. For your everyday functioning, but you have no control. About 50% or 60% of that you have no control at all. So, but that's a wild idea. But within this, which is also the idea that she's taunting around, you know, the president, building our own very nuclear power plant. So that's an idea. That's an idea. Should be, I wouldn't say you should be excited about it, because, well, I don't think that happened in our lifetime. My lifetime, you're probably thinking, ooh, you must be really, really old. I know how things happen. It's 35 years. And there are still things that we, you know, what are we crying for? House. We're crying for housing. So how many of you have houses? Okay. You said maybe you're kind of like, yeah, you're pushing it. Okay. All right. How many of you have a house? How many of you have your own house? Just your own house. Why don't you have your own house? I'm asking. Yeah. So that's why I'm sad. This will never come in it might happen in the years, but it's not coming in my lifetime. If it does, I will take off my clothes and run around naked. Okay. So I promise that. And many of you probably won't like that. Actually, it won't be a pleasant look. I don't think it will be a pleasant look. So nuclear energy this nuclear power or plant, as something that we're taunting around to have, and the president talking about finding, actually looking at how can we have that? Even a small, I'm not like someone who comes earlier, Mr. Killian, who said, I can't expect, but a small something that suit our needs. Can't we have a small plant that suits our needs? You know, at least. So the nuclear energy could give us
give us a steady low carbon electricity. So we have uranium, for God's sake, and we are one of the countries that produces this, you know, in the world. Eh? So that would be really what people say, game changer. That would be a game changer for our business, for our hospital, for our schools, you know, basically for all of us. So, plus we have, as I said, we have uranium. So why not use it here? Eh? Are we that, I don't want to use the word. Eh? So, but okay, but we also have to be realistic. So we also have to be realistic, and the realistic is, it's okay. Eh? Being realistic is okay. So building a nuclear plant is not like putting up a solar panel on the roof, I know. Eh? So,
Igan FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia, como está?
Tudo bem, tudo bem. You know, né?
Yeah.
When you say you run naked, one lady say, also Andres myself and follow him.
No, when it happens, I will do that, you know, because I'm saying it's not going to happen. When it's happened, I have to do something dramatic at least, you know.
she told telling me I'm single. I will also undress myself and follow him.
didn't she hear that it won't look pleasant? You know, it's not something that is attractive. You know.
I don't want to go, but I just also don't
want to that's gonna make up my day anyway. So yeah. All right, done. Yeah. Thanks, man.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I will do that. yeah. So, yeah, no, as I was saying, we have to be realistic. It's not just that, you know, we know to know that this is not something easy. As I said earlier on that, you know, the nuclear plant is not putting up a solar panel on the roof. So it is expensive. It's complicated. You know, think of billions of dollars and years. It's not just about billions of dollars. It's years of construction. Sometimes take to 10 years, 10 to 15 years just constructing this. All right. So, it's massive, but it's not that it's impossible. Yeah, it's not that it's impossible. It is possible. So yeah, it is possible. But sometimes I understand the government. You know, you have to. I understand the government. Imagine if you have what you have, and you think, you know, how do I with what I have? What do I need to do? There is this need. There's a need of new hospitals. They need of helping now this. You know, these young people who need jobs now, they are making noise always on the street. Do you understand? So what do? You have this brilliant idea that you want to, you know, which you know that's going to help you in the future, but the pressing need, you know, that's why we're making Kishonoko Kanyangone, Opege Turiopo, you know, because what you have is not enough. What you have is not enough. You have enough for you to eat, you know, just to eat, and that's it. You don't have something that you can put us. Think of this. Think of the country the way you are. Some of us. Your salary before it comes, it's gone already. just before it gets into your account, it's already committed to things that you know. So it's already committed to things that you owe, eh? You need to pay. Yeah. So, on maybe you pay all that, all what you, from your salary that you left up is only about, let's say, for example, it's only about now 20% of your salary. What we owe in debt, it's more than our budget. It's more than our budget. Do you understand? It's more than our budget. So it's just how do we manage that?
How do we manage that? It's how we manage it. Now, the thing is that now what you left, you have to think, okay, how do then, you know, how do I'm going to divide this with all these pressing needs that are, that our nation is going through. That's it. Do you understand? In human term, in, if you have to think in terms of you as an individual, yeah? So now those are some of these. So we're also not forgetting when I'm talking about that nuclear plant is not, it's not like putting a solar panel on the roof. So, and not forgetting nuclear power plants need tons of water. Tons of water to cool down. So, and as Namibia, as many of you know, is dry. Very, very dry. So we do have plants for desalination plant. I mean, we have plans for desalination plants. Tied to uranium mining, but can we really find enough water? That's also the question. Can we find enough water? So there's also the risk of of radiation when it comes to unique nuclear plant, radiation and nuclear waste that we need to worry about as well. So there are so many things, and it's not just something. Okay, great idea, brilliant ideas, and then okay, let's do that. So there's so many things, yeah. So and even countries that have it, it's not just it. It took them years to be where they are, where we might not even be, but given we are in these global challenges, where we are bombarded with so many new things all the time. Just when you think, okay, is this the in thing? Tomorrow, something else comes up. So when they tell you, no, you need to use this for now. This is what is very important. Tomorrow they come up, no, not that anymore. We can't keep up. And over time, we can't keep up. And as a developing country, we are not there. We will be just carried. Yeah? You will be, because we can't keep up. They are far ahead, far ahead. And no matter how much sometimes they say, we should treat us as equal partners. And come on, let's be realistic. Yes, we're not saying just, you know, abuse us and, you know, exploit our resources and all that. Yeah. Where we have something that is of value, let's make use it. Let make use of that. And the plan is to lean on the partners like Russia's Rosatom that we have here, and China, big players who bring technologies, tech and knowledge. So that could work. But again, we have got to be careful not to become overly dependent on them. That's the way to look at it, you know? Energy independence sound fantastic, but only if Namibia is truly, truly calling the shots. If we are calling the shots, that definitely is possible. Well, let's leave us. There was another part, the geopolitical strategy and resource sovereignty, but we leave it up today. We leave it up to here for today, and thanks for taking part on the show and also for participating and contributing to the show. So that's why we bring this to you. And what I want you to do, and the lady that said it's going to join me, what I want you to do is actually, you know, what you have been listening, you know, pass it on to someone else. You will pass it on to someone else and to someone else. And that's how we make the difference. So, that's Unpacking the Day for today. Until tomorrow. And it's a goodbye. I wish you a very pleasant day. And I'll see you tomorrow. From me, Michael Chiavelli, I'll leave you in the good and capable hand of Helmut. Definitely, I guarantee you will have a smile on your face. So for now,
comedy show that's coming up, Mind the Gap. Mind the Gap with Helmut. Goodbye for me and enjoy your day.
Omudiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma odara hitatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.